Well, good morning, and again, welcome. We're delighted that you can be with us this morning. And again, a happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. We appreciate you and love you and hope that you have a wonderful day. Now, I also want to thank the worship team for the hymns that we've been able to sing together, and especially the last one, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. That's actually the title of today's sermon. We're going to be studying in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34, and the key verse that's found in those verses are, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, it was interesting getting ready for this particular message, because the verses, when I read them, and I thought, well, there isn't going to be a lot of explanation that's needed, and these verses are relatively easy. And then I got thinking about it, and I thought, well, they might be relatively easy in one sense, but in another sense, they're very, very difficult. It's easy to talk about what we're going to talk about today, but it's not easy to live it on a day-to-day basis. One of the things we're going to be talking about at length today is how that we are not to worry. And when I started thinking about that, I thought, I'm almost going to be like a hypocrite up there, telling people not to worry. In fact, to be honest with you, as Nathan was doing the announcements and I was sitting at the back, I was experiencing anxiety, thinking about coming up here. And so to tell somebody not to worry is easy to say, but it's not necessarily easy to do. But anyway, we will take a look at these verses. It's the teaching of the Lord Jesus, and he was teaching his disciples. And so let's take a look then at Luke chapter 12, 22 to 34, and we will read those verses together. "Then he," that is the Lord Jesus, "said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much value, or of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Or if you then are not able to do the least, why are you so anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today, if then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you have need of them." But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now the Lord bless the reading of this word and the teachings of the Lord Jesus. Now, as I considered this section of Scripture, I thought that perhaps we could look at it in three different ways. First of all, I would like to consider with you handling life's challenges, because I'm sure that everyone agrees with me, life has its challenges. And when we get up in the morning, we never know what the next challenge might be. And then I would like to talk for a few minutes about setting priorities. And that would be verses 30 to 32, where we're told to seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added to us. And then finally, I want to talk to you about investments. I'm going to hit the pocketbook, talk about investments, and we want to look at how Jesus looks upon wise investing, or investing wisely, and that's in those two particular verses. Now, last week, Andrew Sarlo spoke to us concerning the rich fool, or the rich farmer. He's referred to in different ways. We could think of him as a very successful businessman. And Andrew brought before us the dangers of lusting after things that we don't have and wanting to have more and more and being a person who is covetous. But you know, this week as I thought about this rich man, and I thought, well, like, really, what was he doing wrong? Was he not just doing something that happens every day? Like, I know of people who have started up a little business, and sometimes they started it in their garage or the basement. And after that, they have worked at it, and God seems to bless it, and all of a sudden they decide, I can't do this in my basement anymore. I don't have room. And so they'll move out of their basement, and they'll go to another building, and they'll work from there, and God continues to bless the business. And before long, they have to move again. They need a bigger building. So, I mean, basically, is that not what this rich businessman was doing? He had too much, and so he wanted somewhere to continue and to store everything that he had. And so doing that was not necessarily a bad thing. I think where the problem comes in with this particular man is his motive and his attitude. First of all, his motive was so that he could increase in goods, and then he could just enjoy himself. He could just have a good time, and he wouldn't have to work anymore and just enjoy life. Many goods light, and up for years I'll be able to enjoy it. And then also his attitude. Did you notice that when Andrew read this last week that this rich man kept saying, I will do this, I will do that, I will, I will, I will. And he left God completely out of the picture. And you see, that's a problem, because we can't leave God out of the picture. God is in control. God, the rich man was saying, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do the other thing. And God said, no, you won't. Tonight, you're going to die. Your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be that you've accumulated? You see, he left God out of it. And that's a dangerous thing, because you and I can do exactly the same thing. And when we talk about the future, we should take advice from, I believe it's James, and James tells us that when we say that we're going to do something, he says this, I have it written down, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And that's a very important concept. I remember as a boy hearing that statement a lot. People would be asked a question, are you going to do such and such? Well, if the Lord wills. I don't seem to hear it as much anymore. And yet it's just as important for you and I today, because God is in control. We never know what a day may bring forth. Well, Jesus finishes talking to the crowd, because he was talking to the crowd when he talked about the parable of the rich farmer. And he finishes talking to the crowd and he turns to his disciples. And the topic changes from the dangers of being controlled by greed and covetousness to the danger of being controlled by worry and anxiety. Now, again, this really convicted me. You know, why, like, don't worry? Well, okay. How? How do I stop worrying? And so the Lord said to his disciples, I say, therefore, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. You see, to worry, and I believe you'll likely agree with me on this one, to worry is part of our human nature. It can be our natural response. I know for me, it is a natural response to a real or even sometimes an imagined situation. Sometimes I worry about things that I've just sort of conjured up in my own mind. And I spend time worrying about it. Worry can consume us. Worry can make us feel miserable. Worry can actually affect our health and our relationships. And worry can most certainly affect our effectiveness in the work of the Lord. And so it's important for us to deal with this particular subject, because just as our life can be consumed by greed and covetousness, our life can be consumed by worry and anxiety. Now, another interesting thing, and these are just things that came to my mind about worry, but another interesting thing I thought of is this, is that what one person worries about may not cause another person to worry at all. They don't have to worry about it. You know, I thought it was interesting that here, in this particular scripture that we're reading, basically, the Lord is telling the disciples, don't worry about what you're going to have to eat, and don't worry about what you're going to wear. Well, I thought about that, and I thought, well, I don't worry about those things. All right. That doesn't cause me any concern, because I don't have to worry about it. I live just down the street from Metro, and I have the means to go into Metro and to buy any food that I want. Not only that, but I have a fridge and a freezer filled with food at home. And not only that, Ruth provides the meals. All I got to do is sit down and enjoy them. So I don't have to be thinking about what I'm going to eat tomorrow, nor do I have to think about what I'm going to wear. I have a whole closet filled with clothes. And sometimes I'll get up, and if it's an important day, I'll go into the bedroom, and Ruth has even laid out what I'm supposed to wear on the bed. So that's no worry to me. So why is the Lord saying to the disciples, don't worry about what you're going to wear, and don't worry about what you're going to eat. Well, you see, they were in a much different situation. I don't think they had a fridge full of food at home. I don't think they just could go into Metro and buy whatever they wanted. You see, these men were not wealthy men. They were not men of means. Do you remember that interesting story when some people came to the Lord Jesus and they said to the Lord Jesus, should we pay taxes? Should we pay to Caesar? And the Lord said to them, show me a penny. And I can just imagine, you know, the disciples are going into their pockets and, you know, looking around, looking at each other, and none of them had a penny. Like, what would that tell you about them? They were poor. Maybe when they were standing there listening to the Lord, they were thinking, I got to get fishing. I need something to eat tomorrow. And they were worried about that kind of thing because of their poverty. And so the Lord looks at the disciples and he tells them, don't worry about those things. I'll take care of it. But anxiety and worry, did you notice as well that even Jesus' mother, Mary, she experienced anxiety. The Bible tells us that. It happened when her son was 12 years old and she lost him. And her and Joseph had to go looking for a lost child. Now, do you think that wouldn't cause you anxiety? It caused them anxiety. In fact, when Mary found Jesus, she told them. She said that he had caused her and his father anxiety, worry. And so it's something that's real in life. Now, the next thing I'd like to talk a little bit about is how do you handle life's challenges? You know, maybe you don't have to worry about food, and you're like me, you really don't have to worry about what you're going to wear tomorrow. But you know that life's full of challenges, and if you haven't had any, you just wait. They'll come. They come to everyone. And so how are we going to take care of life's challenges? Well, there were four things that came to my mind. And these are just things I thought of, you know, as I thought about these scriptures. And I thought, how do you take care of life's challenges? Well, there's some challenges that you can take care of yourself. Because God's given you the ability, he's given you the means, and he expects you to look after it yourself. It's sort of like a parent and child situation. After we had taught our children to tie their own shoes, we didn't expect them to come and ask us to tie their shoes. They were able to take care of that problem by themselves. And God has given us responsibilities in life, and he expects us to carry it out. And so that can happen. The problem is, though, sometimes we try to take care of a problem and we don't have the ability to take care of it. But we try to do it ourselves. Now, I'm going to give you a quick little example here. A few years ago, I developed a hernia. I had never had an operation in my life. And it caused me anxiety to think about it. So I decided I would take care of it myself. And I went out and I bought this wonderful thing called a hernia belt. And I wore that hernia belt for 2 to 3 years until I got to a place where I could hardly sit up, let alone stand up. You see, I was trying to take care of a problem. I was trying to take care of something that had happened and just do it my way. And it was a disaster. Something simple. You see, what I needed to do was I needed to ask others for help. Because God puts other people in our lives, and sometimes we have situations we can't take care of it ourselves, but we can help one another. That's what the church is all about. And so in my situation, the person I had to go to was an excellent physician called Dr. Fertizzi. And Dr. Fertizzi, he was able to take care of something that I couldn't take care of. And so I went to him, I got over my fears, and as a result, I have no problems whatsoever today with that hernia because I went to the right source. But again, we have to make sure if we're going to others for help, we're going to the right source. And there's an excellent example in the Old Testament of a king called Rehoboam. And he had a problem, but the problem was he went to the wrong source to get advice. And so we have to be careful of that. And of course, with life's challenges, sometimes, there's what we do. We just worry. And that is not going to accomplish anything. The Lord says, don't do that. And of course, the fourth one, which is one of the most important, is when we come with challenges in life that we're not able to take care of, then we bring them to the Lord. And we let Him take care of them. And that's the most important thing. And it's what the Lord wants us to do. But I'll tell you, unless you're different than me, it's not necessarily an easy thing to do. But the Lord does not want us to worry because He knows that if we're taken over by worry and anxiety, then it's going to cause us all kinds of problems. So then He goes to a couple of examples. And He says to His disciples, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? I read that, I thought, consider the ravens. Who wants to consider the ravens? I wonder why He picked on a raven. Like, I could have seen it if He had said, consider the cardinal, or consider the blue jay, or even the lowly little chickadee. But instead, consider the crows. I wonder why He picked on that black crow, that raven. Look at it. Well, there could have been a couple of reasons. One is, Jesus always taught in the outdoors. So it could have been that when He was talking, that a flock of ravens came flying in, and they certainly know how to make themselves known. And so it could be the Lord just said, consider the ravens. But I believe it might even be more than that. Because the raven in the Old Testament scriptures occurs more times than you might think. In fact, the raven is the first bird mentioned in the Bible. Noah sent out a raven. And then the raven, God actually used them to help feed, was it Elijah, when he was sitting beside a stream? God used them. Imagine having them bring your food to the door. A raven, but that's what happened. And then it's interesting that God providing for the ravens comes up a couple of times in the Old Testament, even in the book of Job, the oldest book of all. It talks about how that God provides food for the ravens when its young cries out to God, and they wander about for lack of food. Job says God takes care of them. The psalmist says that God takes care of the ravens. And so because of that, I believe that the Lord picks the exact same example, and He reiterates the words of the Old Testament, and He says to them, look, you consider the ravens. That ugly bird, that bird that nobody really likes. Who likes to listen to crows first thing in the morning when you're still trying to rest? And they're out there and you think, oh, would you just go away? And yet that was the bird that the Lord picked. And then He goes on. The next illustration too is kind of interesting. He says, and which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Now, have you thought of how impossible that might be? You see, a cubit, now there's my arm. It's been with me now for 68 years. And a cubit goes from my elbow to the tip of my finger. Now, I measured mine, and for me, a cubit is 19 inches. So is the Lord saying there, you can't add 19 inches to your height? I'd agree with that. And then even in the Old Testament, the ancient Hebrews, a cubit, they had shorter arms, I guess. They were 17.5 inches. And that's why the cubit wasn't a really reliable measurement, because it depended how long the guy's arm was. They also had a long cubit, which was 20.4 inches. And my son Phil, he would have a long cubit. But a lot of translations translate it a little bit differently. And they translate it and they say, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Now that makes a lot more sense, that translation to me. We can't add time to our life. Our lives are in God's hand. And when God says it's time, it's time. We can't do it. And so the Lord is saying, so if you can't do these things, why are you worrying about the other things? I'll take care of you. And then he goes on and he considers the lilies. And he says, take a look at the lilies. Now, when I think of a lily, I think of something like this. But I don't think that's really what it was. We're not told exactly, but you see, that's a hybrid lily. So I don't think that's what the Lord is referring to. It could have been that he was referring to this flower. This particular flower, an anemone, is one that grows wild in Israel. And so it could be that where the Lord was talking to his disciples, when they looked out over the fields, that the fields were red with this flower. It's actually part of the same family as the buttercup. So it'd be like the Lord being here in North America and saying, consider the buttercup. Have you ever considered a buttercup? Do you take time to smell the flowers? Do you take time to take a good look at them? They're amazing. Not only did God create them, but God sustains them and he cares for them. And yet for a lot of us, like, they don't mean anything. Weeds, we'll trample over them. And so it could be that the reason the Lord picked this flower, and he said, it's more beautiful than Solomon was in all his glory. You know, if he'd been in Scotland on the Isle of Skye, he might have said, consider the heather and how it grows. Or if he'd been in Northern Ontario, by Echo Lake, he might have said, consider the dogtooth violet. Beautiful. Consider spring beauty. It's beautiful. Consider the wildflowers. The Lord takes care of them all. And if the Lord can take care of the flowers and he can take care of the birds, then the Lord will certainly take care of you and I, and we should not worry. Day by day, we should commit everything to the Lord and not worry. Now, just a couple other quick things. The next thing deals with the kingdom of God. And seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And Jesus mentions how that, you know, there's the world and the kingdoms of this world, and they're out there seeking more and more, and striving after getting more and more. And he says, not you, though. Like, he says, what I want you to do is just, you seek the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is an interesting concept. It's not a physical kingdom. It's where God reigns, where God has control. And that's what Jesus was saying to the disciples. He was saying, seek letting God have control in your life. Let him reign. In fact, one person I read said this in this particular context, and that is, to seek God's kingdom means we've made a conscious decision to turn toward God rather than anxiety and worry. So seek the kingdom of God. And you know, if I had more time, I'd love to speak the whole time on the kingdom of God, but my time's pretty well gone. But you know, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Only one way into the kingdom. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We can't buy our way in. We can't get in there because of who we are, or no one can put us in there. It's by invitation alone, invitation from God. And I'd like to ask everyone, are you part of that kingdom? Nicodemus was told, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you experienced the new birth? Because in order to be part of the kingdom of God, you must experience the new birth. Now, finally, investing. How do we invest? You know, when it comes to investments, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, people have their investment portfolios. They're worried about primary investment strategies, getting the best return. You hear them talking about, make sure you diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. But then here's what Jesus says about investing. He says, sell what you have and give alms, which means give to the poor. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven where that does not fail and no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, we're living in a world that's very materialistic, and I'm as materialistic as anybody else. But what Jesus is saying here is he's saying you can invest. You can invest in this world. You can invest in portfolios. You can invest in stocks and bonds. And you can do all of that stuff. But eventually, you are going to lose it all. You are going to leave it all to your children so that they can fight over it. But God says no. Jesus says no, don't do that. Instead, he says, take what you have. Anything that you have and sell it. Now, he's not meaning you sell everything, but sell. Like, why? Give away that extra. Give to the poor. Invest in things that are eternal. Invest in the kingdom of God. Build up a treasure so that your treasure is in heaven. So that when the day comes and God takes you from this life into the next, into eternity, that you'll be able to go into his glorious presence and he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so how are you investing? Are you investing in stocks and bonds? And I'm not saying don't invest in stocks, but it's up to you. But are you putting all your money away or are you investing in the kingdom of God? And so number of things that we can learn from those verses, very practical verses. And one verses that I have to work on every day. You know, after I leave here, I've still got to work on not worrying about things. Still have to work on putting God first in my life. And I still have to work on investing in the future, the kingdom of God. Now, we're just going to quickly commit ourselves to the Lord, and then the worship team is going to join us again. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that these are the words of the Lord Jesus. And we just pray that you would give us the strength and the help day by day to follow his instructions. We pray that each one of us would rely upon you rather than worrying and causing ourselves to get sick, and that we would put you first in our lives and invest in your kingdom as we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name.